Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, 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 and good evening. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, and I just thank and praise God. I bring you greetings from the End Time Men and Women of War, and to Apostle, and from Apostle Edward Deans as well. We just thank you so much for tuning in on our radio broadcast on tonight. I want to first of all greet you in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're so delighted to have you on this Monday. And we just give God praise and glory for each one of you. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about our study in the Word on tonight. I just want to call our Bible class, our study in the Word, to order right now. We're going to have a short devotion. We're going to have a song, and we're going to have the reading of the Word, and we're going to pray. Amen. Just give me a second. God bless you. Hold on. Calvary on tonight. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the way, by the right way, that they might go to a city of inhabitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I had just read you from Psalms 107, from the first down to the eighth verse. Right? May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of his most holy word. Lord, we come on tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you now to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come on tonight, Lord, asking you right now if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Father, we ask your forgiveness right now. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, to renew in us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight. Lord, we come first of all asking you to bind up the strong man on tonight, Father. Bind up the strong man, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bind the strong man, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm asking you, Father, to bind up the strong man, every evil demon, every evil thing, every negative thought, every wicked thing, every witch and wizard and warlord. I ask you to bind it right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I'm asking you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to cover us now in the shed blood of Jesus, and encamp your angels all around about to protect us right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you today. We thank you right now, Lord. I'm asking you now, to let me decrease that the Holy Ghost, the Rabbi, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to cover our thoughts, our minds, in the shed blood of Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, to give us clear understanding, Father, in the name of Jesus. Open up our understanding. Open it up, Father, so we can understand your word, Lord, and what you're trying to say to us, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you tonight, Father. We give you praise on tonight. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the Holy Spirit tonight. We thank you for the angels, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, Lord. Glory to God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. And we give you glory. We ask all these things. I ask you to bless those that's in radio land on tonight, Father. We give you praise. Hallelujah. And we give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. Amen. We just thank and praise God for each one of you tonight. Glory to God. We just thank you tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight, Father. We're going to be studying from the book of Zechariah on tonight. And you know who Zechariah is. Zechariah, whose name whom Jehovah remembers. Jehovah remembers is identified as the son of Bethlehem, which means Jehovah blesses. And his father was the son of Iduo, which means the appointed time. Certainly this cluster of names with such rich meaning is suggestive of the encouragement given to the remnant that had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. God remembers and blesses at the appointed time. Although the name Zechariah was common among the Hebrew people, and it was mentioned in the Old Testament 28 times, and the Bible teacher who identified the Zechariah of this book, whom the Lord mentioned in Matthew 28 and 35 as having been martyred for the gospel. Many expositors discounted this possibility, but it is interesting to note that the Jewish Zechariah was slain in the sanctuary and that he was both prophet and priest. In Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 4, Adullam is mentioned as one of the heads of the priestly family, and the historian Josephus recounts the murder of a Zacharias, the son of Berechiah, i.e. Berechiah, as perpetrated in the temple by the Zealots just before the destruction of Jerusalem. Another interesting observation is that Zechariah's prophecy practically closes the Old Testament. It is next to the final book and the New Testament. Zechariah was a priest who was serving at the altar of incense when an angel appeared to him with a message from God after 400 years of silence. And tonight, Father. Just one second, everyone. Amen. Okay. The prophecy was written in 520 BC. Zechariah was contemporary with Haggai, although he was probably a younger man. The vision resembled those in the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. Daniel and Ezekiel were born in the land of Israel, but wrote their books outside of it. Zechariah was born outside of the land down by the canals of Babylon, but he wrote in the land. It is interesting that Daniel, Ezekiel, and John were all outside of Israel when they wrote. Only Zechariah was in that land when he wrote his apocalyptic vision in the dark days of discouragement, which blanketed the remnant. He saw the glory in all of the rapture and vision of hope. He has more messianic prophecies than any other of the other minor prophets. This is therefore an important and interesting book. I should have put it in the back of my head. I need something to cover it with. I can't. Okay. We need to recognize that these two types of men are still needed today. They stick together. We need the practical and pragmatic man to go along with the man who is visionary. Because there is a danger in the dreamer. Then the dreamer, but not practical. On the other hand, the practical man so often lacks vision. So when you put these two together, you have a happy combination. Amen. The scripture, chapter 1, verse 5 says, wait a minute, I'm skipping all these scriptures. And we had finished all these from the other day. So we're going to start on the 10 visions, which I thought was 8. So I put from 8 to 10 is what I did. While most experts say that there are 8 visions, here we will make a future division, as you will see. Visions of riders under the myrtle tree. That's when we was talking about the red and white spotted horses. And it says, upon the 420 day of 11th month, which is the month Sabbath, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were the red speckled and white. Man, I saw by night. He doesn't say I dreamed by night. He said I saw by night. Zechariah said. He said he didn't say I dreamed by night. He said I saw by night. And you may get the impression that because Zechariah had these visions at night, that they were dreams, but they was not dreams. They were visions. But he makes it clear that they were visions, not dreams. He was wide awake, and I don't think that any tranquil or sleeping pill could have put him to sleep on that night. Many people differ with me in my stand to that, because this was a vision, not dreams. He had 8 to 10 visions. I know, admittedly, that God has not given them a message, but that the dream was caused by something that he was doing. Anyway, in sleep, the mind is unlatched or released, and it generally wanders back over some experience that produces the dream. you could think we could be sure that God does not speak to us in some dreams, something like this. I think God does speak in dreams, so I don't know about, because, you know, it's not always that God gives you a dream of something you've already experienced. God give you dreams of things that you have not experienced as well. So I kind of defer with that, and you all be praying with me because my nose is bleeding now, and it has been bleeding for a while. I can't stop. I have to keep doing what the Lord says do, though, but just keep praying with me. I got paper and stuff and ice on my face. And where are we going? Just bear with me. I'm going to stop my nose up because it's been bleeding. It's been bleeding for a few days. So, okay. Notice that Zechariah said, I saw. It is important to understand how God reveals himself to this prophet at this time. God, to me, revealed himself to prophets in different ways than he do other people, but a lot of times it's in vision and dreams. I don't know how anybody can say that God doesn't, especially in dreams. He does. Behold, Zechariah introduces his vision in a dramatic way. Frankly, I think that the translator should have put an exclamation mark after the word behold. Means to look, look. There's a man riding up on a red horse. A man riding up on a red horse. Who is this man? He is the Lord Jesus Christ before his incarnation. You may ask how I know that. Well, it is. That's who it is. We have to really do a lot of extensive study. We have to do extensive study on this kind of stuff. I've been studying it, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ over in the Old Testament. Riding on a red speckled horse, that's who that is. So, like I was telling you on Friday, Zechariah is like the book of Revelation of the Old Testament. And you have to know that in Zechariah, they talks about Jesus Christ, his first coming and his second. It's a lot that's in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, that's mentioned here in the book of Zechariah. It can be called the book of Revelation of the Old Testament. This is the longest of the minor prophets, and it's divided into anywhere from 8 to 10 visions, 4 messages, and 2 burdens. So we have to make note of that. A lot of this stuff come out of the book of Revelation. We have to know that. Okay, it says that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Christ's pre-incarnation, Zechariah sees him watching over this world. I mean, it's a major, major stuff that the Father show us, envisions his prophet. Now, it is true that Satan is called the prince of this world, that is, of the world system, the carnality of this world. Today is all under Satan's control. But God has not given up this to Satan, because this earth is where heaven will be on down in the end. So, to me, Zechariah, like I said, this book is like and all these dreams and visions, all his visions and the messages and burdens. You will see, I know it's two burdens I was studying last night. I was studying over in Revelations and saw some stuff in that was in Zechariah. And so it's been, God been putting it all together. It's just, it's something when you studying and you've been and read it somewhere else two or three times, it's strange, but that's how you learn, because you're studying and you see it more than one place. Here in Zechariah, vision, it is the nation of Israel, in particular over which he is watching. Comfort is to know that out of all the galaxies about us, which cannot be numbered for multitude, the God of the universe is watching, keeping watch over his own. What a message this vision has for us. Zechariah will give many messages of comfort, and certainly this is one of them. Now, notice that the man is riding upon a red horse. What is the significance of the color red? Well, red speaks of blood and bloodshed. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of bloodshed and war. But for this one who is riding the red horse, it speaks of his own blood to be shed. He is watching over this earth because he will die and shed his blood for the human family on this earth. That's awesome. Behind him were there red horses. Behind him were red horses, speckled in white. Man, they had white. It does not say that there were riders on the horses, but I feel that we can rightly assume that each horse had a rider because they were just there. Where God has not given us complete information, we assume that the riders are angelic beings under Christ's command, whose business it is to watch over the earth and report their findings to him. And I truly believe that it was angels on that horse, on those horses, speckled in white. And you can assume that they were riding with Jesus, watching over the earth. I know God. I know they watch over this earth. I know they watch us. That's how they know a lot of times what we do. And our mind is so little and finite. I mean, we can't even imagine something like that. We can't even imagine it. But believe me, he knows everything that we do. All of us, all at the same time. He know us by name. He know every hair that's on our head. God know it. They know it. So he can watch over everything and see everything all at the same time. Yes, he can. And I believe that because God is God and he made everything. He knows everything. I just thank him on today. I'm getting excited about it because sometimes we live in him, you know. And a lot of people, this is how I feel, a lot of people, they'll say things and think God don't know what they're doing or what the intention is and stuff like that. And God knows everything. He knows everything about them. So there is no use to trying to sneak and do anything or trying to say, well, I'm going to do this, and your intentions are not right and true. I just don't believe that. We should always know that God knows every intention of our heart. He knows every intention. So that's why I told a young lady earlier, I said, hey, I can't tell you nothing but the truth. If I If I told you any different, God knows. And I'm not finna fake. I'm not a good faker and all that. Mm-mm. I believe those was angels on the horses with God, with Jesus. I really do. Let me read a little further scripture here. We're in Zechariah chapter 1. This minor prophet, they call him a minor prophet. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angels that talk with me said unto me, I show thee what these be. Then said I, O Lord, what are these? That is the same question we have. So let's listen. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord have sent to walk to and fro through the earth. This means that they was patrolling. It's like, to and fro. They were patrolling. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. All the earth sitteth still and is at rest means that there is peace on earth at this time. That sounds good because during 5,000 years of recorded history, there have been only about 200 years of peace. Man is a fierce, warlike creature. There is war in his heart. So a period of peace sounds wonderful. But what kind of peace was it? Well, it was the kind of peace that does not last very long. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judea against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Against what thou hast had indignation these 70 years? That is, for 70 years now, Jerusalem has been lying in ruin, debris and ashes. But the remnant of Israel, which has returned to the land, is beginning to rebuild. The cry is, how long will it be before God is going to bring real blessings to us? God will make it clear that he is displeased with the nations which are at peace and ignore Jerusalem's plight. God is jealous for Jerusalem, and all the nations of the world are indifferent to it. God returned to Jerusalem with mercies, and the nations have a responsibility also. But the nations are at peace. Although they won't be at peace very long, they was at peace then. They was at peace. And the Lord answered that angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. They were good words, that they were good words and comforting words, words that were helpful to the remnant. During this time, Haggai was pronouncing judgment, but not Zechariah. He was giving good messages of comfort. That's what God gave him to do. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. I am jealous for Jerusalem. God's jealousy is not a human sort of jealousy that might be just a flare, a bad temper. But men's jealousy, which is a burning passion for that which is their own and is dear to them, and may be taken away from them, might be similar to the jealousy of God. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Jerusalem is his city. and the Israelites are his people. He is fully aware of the worldwide woes of oppressed Israel, even in our day. He is exceedingly jealous for his people. Exceedingly, the world then and now is ready to forsake them. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little and they helped further the affliction. I was but a little displeased. That is, God's chastisement was intended for a brief period, but the nation of the world wanted his annihilation. They wanted his great affliction, greatest affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I'm reading scripture. This is Zechariah chapter 1, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. God had come back to deal with his people in mercy. The scriptures tell us that he is rich in mercy. A line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. There are those who believe that this line stretching forth upon Jerusalem means that there would be a great building boom in Jerusalem, that it would expand and become a great city in that day. I think that it is probably true, but in the scriptures, whenever we find a man with a measuring rod or a measuring line, it means that God is getting ready to move directly in that particular case. In this case, Israel had just returned from 70 years of captivity, and God is turning to his people again, turning to those who have returned to him. All the nations of the earth are to understand that there will never be a peace on earth until there is peace in Jerusalem. We better remember that. There will never be peace on earth until there is peace in Jerusalem. I didn't think it would be peace on earth until Jesus came back. I thought it always would be some kind of war or rumors of wars. I just didn't think it, but in some cases. Verse 17 says, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. This look into the future, so that these people can recognize that they are working in the plan and program of God, which extends into the future. Visions of the four horns. It's Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This is the second vision given to Zechariah. You know, the first vision was about the speckled horse, the red horse and speckled red and white horses. This is the second vision of the four horns. This is the second vision given to Zechariah. Then lifted I up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judea, Israel, and Jerusalem. Now, I considered the vision of the four horns as one vision, and the vision of the four carpenters as another vision. Most people, expositors, combine them and consider them to be a single vision, but I don't interpret that way. I don't look at it like that, but Zechariah see four horns, and these four horns are the ones that scattered Jerusalem and Judea and Israel. They have scattered both the northern and the southern kingdoms. A horn represents a Gentile ruler. We find this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise again in Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. I think you can see from these other references that horns represent Gentile world power. So these four horns, which Zechariah saw, represents four Gentile world powers. And see, I'm in Revelation a lot now, and I'm studying over here in Zechariah, and God is putting all of this together. He's putting it all together, because I wouldn't have known that this would go all in with Revelation. So I thank and praise God for that. The vision of four smiths, I think these smiths are carpenters, but they call them smiths. They are skilled workmen. They can be called smiths because a smith is a trained workman. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horns over the land of Judah, scattered it. That's Zechariah chapter 1, verse 20-21. Then said I, what come these to do? That is, what are these skilled workmen doing here? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray or terrify them, to cast out the horns of the Gentile nations, which lifted up their horns over the land of Judah to scatter it. This is without doubt one of the most remarkable prophecies we have in the scriptures. Who are the four smiths? There have been many suggestions, and we don't know who they are. But it's symbolic of the supernatural means which God uses. And I don't really know. I know they are workmen which build up things. I don't really know, but I know I can find out probably who they actually are, each one of them, the people. But I believe they're angels, but I don't really know. But I just really believe they're angels because God is using them. See, that's why I say they're angels. I'm reading something here. In line with Daniel's great prophecies concerning the time of the Gentiles, three of the horns, in turn and under the punitive hand of God, become smiths. Smiths are skilled workmen, while the fourth and last horn is cast down by the worldwide kingdom set up by the returning of Christ. Oh, Lord. The returning of Christ, coming to dash to pieces his enemies, who are in the same time his people. Thus the first horn is Babylon, is cast down by the Medo-Persian. I read that last night. The second horn, the Medo-Persian, accordingly in turn becomes the first smith. The second horn, Medo-Persian, is cast down by the third horn and thus becomes the second smith. The third horn is Macedonian Greece, is in turn cast down by the fourth horn, which is Rome, which thus becomes the third smith. The fourth horn, Rome, the most dreadful of all, does not become a smith, but it is revived 10 kingdoms from form of the last days. It's destroyed by the fourth smith, the millennium kingdom set up by the returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation 19 and 6. See, all of this just falling right in hand, and you because you're not probably studying this right now, in all of the other books that I'm talking about, Revelation and Daniel, you can't see it all coming together, but I see it all coming together here, and it's just like it's putting this end time thing together. It's putting the book of Revelation together. It's awesome to me because I've been kind of studying Revelation. I've been kind of studying here in Zechariah, all of those. So it's real interesting, really interesting, because believe me, we right here in the last days. We right here at the end time, and we need to know what's going on, where we need to be, where Jesus is going to be when he get here, what things are going to happen, how the judgment will come, because I've been writing my essays and stuff, and I wrote an essay. I'm writing now an essay on the book of Revelation and on the judgment and how God judges people. How does he judge people and stuff like that? So it's so interesting to me. It's I'm telling you, but a lot of this stuff that I'm doing and studying and learning, I'm going to teach in the school of the prophets, because it's so important that we know, and I got my scripture to back this stuff up. So I thank God for the opportunity that he gives me to study and the knowledge that he's downloading in me, because it's going to help all of us. I don't know nothing without God. I have no knowledge apart from Christ, because I'm nobody apart from him. So everything I know it through Christ. I know it from Christ. Even if my husband teach me something, it's still through Christ. That is time, like a lot of this stuff about the judgment and how we'll be judged and who will be judging, I never knew it. I never knew the stuff. But it's just time that God wants me to know all of this stuff. And believe me, it's been blowing my mind. It's been blowing my mind. And Satan don't like it. That's why my nose keeps bleeding. This is the second or third time in about 4 or 5 days that my nose was bleeding. But I can't help it. I don't let nothing, because I thought it was dryness, but I'm at home tonight. So it's not. So I'm still thanking God, because I know that I'm getting wisdom and knowledge through the teaching of God's word, and that's what we want. And like I said, a lot of this stuff to me is going to be ready for the school of the prophets, prophetic intercessors, and apostles. This is what the Lord gave me. Apostles, the prophets, and prophetic intercessors. I will be teaching. That's the school that we're going to have. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. That's the school. So, we were talking about the fourth smith. That's the last verse, verse 20 and 21, about the horns and the millennium kingdom set up by the returning of the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. The chapter 2, and we're talking about in this chapter is prophecies of the rebuilding of the temple and the city of Jerusalem by the remnant of Israel in the days of Zechariah. That's what this is about. The vision of the man with the measuring line. Mm-hmm. And verse 1 says, I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And, okay, we're all prophets, and we have the gift of prophecy. Just think if you would be studying or you be sitting or whatever you might be doing and you look up and see these visions like this. These are not dreams. He's awoke. He's awake. He's not asleep. And you just look up and see a man standing there with a measuring line. I'm telling you, that it would blow my mind. I lifted up my eyes again and looked. Zechariah sees it with his physical eyes. He is not asleep. I was just thinking, if I was just, I look up, I'm washing dishes, and I look around, and this man standing in my kitchen with a measuring line. Now, believe me, I've seen people in my kitchen while I was washing dishes. They didn't have no measuring line. Behold, a man with a measuring line. The appearance of this man reveals that he is the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnated Christ, that same one who appeared in the first vision as the rider on the red horse. You may wonder why I say that he is the angel of the Lord when Zechariah simply calls him a man. Well, Zechariah presents him as a man in some more chapters. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. But we will get to that later. We'll get to that. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what it is, the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. Zechariah is interested and asks, what the world are you doing? What you going to do with that thing? And he said, I'm finna go measure Jerusalem. I'm going to see what is the breadth, what is the length. He is saying that the city is to be expanded. It did that in Zechariah's day, and it is certainly doing that now. It spilled over the wall long ago. On every hill around the old city of Jerusalem, there is construction going on. I don't consider the current building program to be a fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, because I believe the fulfillment is yet to come in the future. The Jews could be driven out of the land of Israel again without disturbing God's promise to eventually and finally bring them back to the land, but that is exactly what he intends to do. Verse 3 and 4 in chapter 2 says, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run, speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Run, speak to the young man. The young man is evidently Zechariah. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. In our day, the walls of Jerusalem surround only the older city, the small Arab city, Most of the city is outside the wall, scattered on the surrounding hills. This will also be true when the prophecy is fulfilled in the future. It would be needful to have walls because in modern warfare, walls afford no protection, and the city would be at peace, which means that the Prince of Peace will be reigning in Jerusalem. Because I've always thought there will not be any peace here until Christ come back. I've always thought that. Verse 5 says, "For I said, the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round and about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." This certainly is not true in our day, but their help comes from other nations. But God says that in the future, He will be a wall of fire around them. This means that God will be their protection. And we often ask God to protect us and build a hedge of protection around us. We often say that. And I ask God to build a hedge of protection around people, and that's a good thing. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, said the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, said the Lord." Ho, ho is called to listen. One ho would be enough. But when there is a double ho, ho, it means that he's giving them something very important. And in this case, it is a warning. He says, "Come forth and flee from the land of the north." In the following verses, we shall see that Babylon is referred to as the land of the north, although it is actually situated in an easterly direction from Palestine. It is called the land of the north because invading armies and traveling caravans from the land to Jerusalem came around a route called the Fertile Crescent and entered Palestine from the north. "Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest in the daughter of Babylon." This means to get out of Babylon. Why? Because Babylon was going to fall. And that's over there in the book of Revelation. Ah, glory to God. God was going to bring it down. He's going to bring it down. So we may as well get ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's so much in the book of Zechariah. I tell you, it's a lot going on in that book. So I do want to get a whole lot more information this Monday by Friday. I want to have more and more information on some stuff to really make it understanding very clear to you, because this is a minor prophet and we're all prophets. We need to know what they had to go through. That's why I was saying, how would you feel if you looked up and somebody was standing there with a measuring stick, is what he had. That's what they call it, a measuring stick. Let me tell you something. I don't know what I would do. When I did see what I saw downstairs, you know, I just looked. I said, "Honey, is somebody in here?" There wasn't nothing I could do. I just told her, "Honey, somebody in here. She was like, who is it? I said, I don't know. And it happened to me twice. But I'm saying, if you would see somebody and they doing something, and you don't know where they come from, hey, you know they have to be angels or something, but he probably was scared to death, shaking in his boots. A lot of them was, because they had to do a whole lot of things. Not like today. We ain't doing nothing. But, honey, back then, they was giving out warnings, and people hated to see the prophets coming. They went, oh, you get a new car, you get a new house, don't get some money, all that. Mm-mm. They was handing out warnings from God. Warnings from God. And people did not want to, they didn't want to see him. They was running from them. And they get the word a prophet come in town, they be locking them doors up. Don't come here. Pull it. Mm-mm. Putting the shades down and stuff, putting stuff up through the windows. Don't come here. But God has to get his messages out. He has to get them out. But I'm not going to prolong the time. I thank God my nose did stop bleeding, too. I thank and praise God because I didn't stop teaching. I just, my husband brought me some ice to put on my nose, and it kind of stopped it. So you all keep me in your prayers. I do have a slight headache. I want you all to just keep praying for me because I know evidently I'm being attacked, and it's in a different way. Like I say, this is the second or third time my nose been bleeding in a five-day span. So I'm not doing anything to make my nose bleed. I thought it was the dryness, but I don't think it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. I'll say that because all I was doing was reading. And sitting here being calm, reading, and my nose just started pouring blood. So I'm soliciting you all's prayers. Keep me up in your prayers, and we're going to get ready to dismiss and let you all off, and I'm going to put this ice back on my nose so it will not bleed anymore tonight. Father, we thank you on tonight for your word, Lord. We thank you for opening up our understanding about Zechariah and the prophecies and the visions that God gave him. Lord, I thank you right now for every one of them in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you now, Lord, to cover everyone that's up under the sound of my voice, those that's in radio land. Father, I ask you right now to cover them indeed, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you on tonight, Lord, to enlighten everybody on things that you will have them to do. Every prophet that's on this radio broadcast, Lord, whatever you would have them to do, I ask you now to make it a clear vision, Father. Make it clearly understood, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give it to them with clarity, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you now that I ask you to dismantle into anything that's not like you in their lives, Lord. And I ask you to take it down, dismantle it right now, in the name of Jesus. And whatever you need to adjust it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you for tonight and the study of your word, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and thank God. You all have a blessed rest of the night. And I love you and God love you too. You all be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen.